encourage them to save their pennies, wherever possible, to be used in missionary work. They will gain rich experiences through the practice of self-denial, and such lessons will often keep them from acquiring habits of intemperance. A 388 point to the children they learn to show their love for Christ by denying themselves needless trifles, for the purchase of which much money slips through their fingers. In every family this work should be done. It requires tact and method, but it will be the best education the children can receive. And if all the little children would present their offerings to the Lord, their gifts would be as little rivulets which, when united and set flowing, would swell into a river. A 388.3 keep a little money box on the mantle or in some safe place, where it can be seen, in which the children can place their offerings for the Lord. Thus they may be trained for God. 388.4 teach children to pay tithe and offerings. Not only does the Lord claim the tithe as his own, but he tells us how it should be reserved for him. He says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." This does not teach that we are to spend our means on ourselves and bring to the Lord the remnant, even though it should be otherwise an honest tithe. Let God's portion be first set apart. The directions given by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul in regard to gifts present a principle that applies also to tithing. Upon the first day of the week let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Parents and children are here included. A 389.1 A mistake sometimes made by wealthy fathers, the circumstances in which a child is placed will often have a more effective influence on him than even the example of parents. There are wealthy men who expect their children to be what they were in their youth, and blame the depravity of the age, if they are not. But they have no right to expect this of their children, unless they place them in circumstances similar to those in which they themselves have lived. The circumstances of the father's life have made him what he is. In his youth he was pressed with poverty and had to work with diligence and perseverance. His character was molded in the stern school of poverty. He was forced to be modest in his wants, active in his work, simple in his tastes. He had to put his faculties to work in order to obtain food and clothing. He had to practice economy. A 389.2 Fathers labor to place their children in a position of wealth, rather than where they themselves began. This is a common mistake. Had children today to learn in the same school in which their fathers learned, they would 390 become as useful as they. The fathers have altered the circumstances of their children. Poverty was the father's master, abundance of means surrounds the son. All his wants are supplied. His father's character was molded under the severe discipline of frugality, every trifling good was appreciated. His son's habits and character will be formed, not by the circumstances which once existed, but by the present situation, ease and indulgence. When luxury abounds on every side, how can it be denied him? A 389.3 Parents' best legacy to children. The very best legacy which parents can leave their children is a knowledge of useful labor and the example of a life characterized by disinterested benevolence. By such a life they show the true value of money, that it is only to be appreciated for the good that it will accomplish in relieving their own wants and the necessities of others, and in advancing the cause of God. 391.1 Chapter 64, Business Integrity. The Bible a source book of business principles, there is no branch of legitimate business for which the Bible does not afford an essential preparation. Its principles of diligence, honesty, thrift, temperance, and purity are the secret of true success. These principles, as set forth in the book of Proverbs, constitute a treasury of practical wisdom. Where can the merchant, the artisan, the director of men in any department of business, find better maxims for himself or for his employees than are found in these words of the wise man? 391.1 Sayest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. 391.2 In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. 391.3 The soul of the sluggard desireth, and hath nothing. 391.4 The drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. 391.5 How many a man might have escaped financial failure and ruin by heeding the warnings so often repeated and emphasized in the scriptures. 391.6 He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. 391.7 Wealth gotten in haste shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall have increase. 391.8 The getting of treasures by lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. 391.9 The borrower is servant to the lender. 391.10 He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hath suretyship is sure. 391.11 The eight commandments condemns theft and robbery. It demands strict integrity in the minutest details of the affairs of life. It forbids overreaching in trade and requires the payment of just debts or wages. 392.1 Mind and character degraded by dishonesty, he one who utters falsehood or practices deception loses his own self-respect. He may not be conscious that God sees him and is acquainted with every business transaction, that holy angels are weighing his motives and listening to his words, and that his reward will be according to his works. But if it were possible to conceal his wrongdoing from human and divine inspection, the fact that he himself knows it is degrading to his mind and character.